This is Dr. Patton dictating a note on MI-103, Introduction to Missions, Lesson 13 on Financing Church Evangelism. As we look at church evangelism, we'll see that there are multiple types of church evangelism in terms of giving. Dr. Charles Keene, who's spent many years working in this area, used to identify three types: spare change, that is, that it doesn't affect our real living, we give out of our overflow. Secondly, giving is tithing, that we give enough that it does affect our living and lifestyle, but we give regularly. Or giving of your living, which actually requires the grace of God. This, I would say in particular, faith promise giving or something similar to that is the type that I particularly care about. Now, it's important to remember that Jesus came to earth and God gave his son to us. Which type of giving? Romans 8:32, this is slide 4. He that pared not his own son, but delivered him up from us all, how shall he not with us also freely give us all things. Slide 5. So we see these types of giving. The tithe is usually the first fruits off of your gross. Offerings, I believe, are above the tithe and not above below it. And in fact, if you look at Malachi chapter 3, verse 8 through 10, you'll see that God said, if we fail to pay our tithes, we are actually robbing him. One of the problems we had in Suriname initially was that when I would take a special offering, I would see that the general offering dropped by the same amount, which really meant that people came with their idea of giving a certain amount, and if they put it in the special offering, then they didn't give it in the regular offering, which is not exactly what our goal is. Slide 6. A number of churches give a budgeted amount. Sometimes, like the Southern Baptist Convention, I understand, is required to give a certain amount, depending on their size and so forth, giving it into their common pool. Some churches give 10% of the total income of the church, and then some have Faith Promise Mission. Slide 7. Faith Promise Mission, which I believe was first started by Oswald Smith, or at least popularized by him a number of years ago, is this. Each year you pray and commit that year in missions to a specific amount. Pray that God will allow you to provide and do this going ahead and trusting God. And in general, what we see with that is each year, the tendency is for the amount of giving to go up. And as our trust in God increases, and perhaps his trust in us increases, that we are faithful in giving the money to him, we see that he enables us to do things that we did not expect to do. Now, originally, when I thought that this was going to occur, my prediction would have been that as faith promise goes up, the income for the church itself will go down. Well, that was based on my experience initially with our church in Suriname. Later on, I think the church has done much better. But we do it in faith, and as our faith increases, they actually find that the amount of giving to the church itself usually increases as well as the amount to the missions giving as well. Slide 8. Well, what about other types of giving? Yes, there are other types of giving. You can give material goods, cars, properties, special things of that sort. What about giving our time and talents? For example, if we really gave our time to the Lord, then that would mean one way or another, 168 hours a week that God has given us in terms of time, we would give 16.8 hours of our time to his work one way or another, whether in church attendance or serving, studying, and so forth, to him. Also, we see that, of course, one day is to the Lord. A very unusual example, I thought, was that of giving, was that Hannah gave up her son Samuel to the Lord, and promised to do this even before he was conceived. Now, she had no children. This was a 100% gift. But God enabled her to have a number of children after she had not been able to conceive for many years, conceived Samuel, and then gave him. A very unusual example of special giving. Slide 9. Well, there are different types of giving. One is to give everything funneled through the local church, but also parachurch giving is also possible. Personally, I believe that the tithe goes to the local church. And I would want to make sure before, and I do give parachurch giving, I have certain specific projects I give to and certain specific people I give to outside of the regular giving of the church. I would want to make sure that the tithe is given to the church and probably something more than that in addition before giving offerings which are above that. Now, we're at slide 10. Let's look at also some of the mission programs of the local church. In slide 11, I'd like to ask you a question. We say that a missionary must have a call to go, that God needs to call the missionary to go. The question also is, should the local pastor have a call to stay? I believe that that is basically true if you think about it in this way. Are you called to that particular church where you are? And you should be. And if you're not called there, that's a problem. It's disturbing to see how many pastors go from one church to another church to another church over a short period of time. Slide 12. In the missions program, leadership is really the key. I believe that the church is given the responsibility for missions and that it's a biblical mandate and it should be through the entire church program. The pastor should have a missions worldview, just like the missionary. Teachers and so that are providing leadership in those areas likewise should have a missions worldview. Slide 13. Question, what about the pastor as a leader? Will he teach on missions? Will he preach on missions? Pastor, will you have your missionaries into your pulpit? Pastor, will you pray specifically for your missionaries? And what form of financial involvement will you have for you and your church? For example, I think that Faith Promise is a wonderful method of finances and represents a really stepping out on faith. And if someone is to start that, it really probably is best for the pastor to do that. Slide 15. The key to pastoral involvement then in a church's program is going to depend especially on a missions-minded pastor. His leadership is going to help the church to move forward ahead with a vital missions program. His devotion to the cause of missions is going to do a lot to cause the church to catch a mission, a vision for missions. And furthermore, this vision for missions really should not be limited to just a mission conference once a year or even a Wednesday night service once a month, but that missions needs to be an integral part of all that we do. In fact, we can say that missions is not part of what we do, but what we do, but we do it in different places, whether on the field, outside the church, or in the local area. Slide 17. So many people need to be involved. The pastor needs to be involved, the deacons, the staff, the teachers, the youth workers, bus captains, other workers, and ideally a very active missions committee chairman. One of the things that has been very helpful is to have short-term missions at times, having key men of the church to go. not just to send the youth off, and sometimes they look at it as kind of a vacation or fun thing to do, but to have, but if you do, then have them go to youth with a youth pastor or another mature leader. And God can work in the hearts of young people. If he does, pray that God will solidify that call. One of the things that has bothered me in terms of presentations is I have gone to churches where I have, I can remember one in particular, pastor says, I want you to speak missions to my church group or my Sunday school. Well, he happened to be an older man, and his Sunday school were the senior citizens. The teenagers went off to have their own fun activities. Who are you presenting to? Well, the senior citizens can get involved. Some of them even go overseas. But it certainly is not good to isolate your children and your young people from missions. Furthermore, another word on short-term missions. Sometimes short-term missions is really more a fun activity or travel adventure than a real missions trip. And I've seen people where they went, for example, to Mexico. I'm thinking of one group where the main thing, I asked one of the kids, what's the main thing you do? And that is, boy, did you know they have the largest Walmarts in the whole world there where we went? We sure had a lot of fun looking at that. Nothing about missions. Are there other options, other ways to reach out into missions? Yes, there are. For example, local international outreach. International students at local universities where we are, for example, in our location at Knoxville, there are more than well over 1,000 Chinese students down at the University of Tennessee. Many, many international students from all over the world. An opportunity to reach into their lives. And also many internationals living in the area. And so we've had International Sunday School, for example, helping with other things such as teaching English and other sorts of ways of helping these individuals as they come in to our country to help them get into the country and get into the culture here. You can present missionary missions to the church in other ways as well. We're at slide 21 now. Mission maps, halls of missionaries. I've had pictures, I've been asked to have pictures of me doing things like baptizing or preaching. They would put on a hall of missionaries, posters, bulletin boards, putting up displays, slide 22, giving graphs or charges, having prayer letters posted, praying for them, having missionary prayer band. That's apparently more common, I think, in Christian colleges, slide 23, and then many other ideas that the pastor can have. How about preaching on missions from the pulpit? How about teaching on missions in the Sunday school? How about having missionary stories for the kids? And we've done that, and I've been surprised that even on the mission field, preaching about missions in areas in other countries has had a real impact on the children. I can remember reading through stories and they would beg me to go on to the next section when I would stop at one section. We'd teach it over a period of 4 or 5 weeks. Slide 24. The yearly mission conference is a good time to get everybody involved. And our church really tries to do that. They have programs for the children. They have involvement of the college. Bring in missionaries for support, bring in missionaries who are veteran missionaries who can demonstrate their ministries, and to keep track of missionaries and pray for them faithfully. Slide 25, emphasizing faith promise missions and having a yearly mission conference is also very helpful. We can set goals for your people, take pledges, and see about reaching those goals. Slide 26. To encourage people to be involved in missions, we need to inform them about missions. Information can begin getting interest. And interest can involve get involvement, and more involvement will then get more involvement. Slide 27. You can put in missionary information in the Sunday bulletin. Church library. If you have a church library, books on missions, books on missionaries, easy way to do it. Many missionary publications and magazines are made available, and they are often available at no cost, and they are happy to provide them to church groups. Slide 28, slides and videos from the field and audio messages from your missionaries. Maybe missionary-oriented music, missionary booklets, websites, and most mission agencies have information on their agencies, and they are also happy to provide more information. Slide 29, missionaries need pulpit emphasis. Get missionary speakers. Say, well, I don't know if they speak so well. Well, they're not there to outpreach you as pastor, but they can provide a real challenge, as the church has a responsibility to reach into the missionary worldwide missions, and you can't do it without the missionary, and he can't do it without you. And so both need to get together and work together. It's good to have specific missionary prayer requests and then specific answers. What about specific involvement? Camp decisions. A lot of kids make important decisions at camp. It's important to follow through. Also, a challenge is to educate your parents. Many parents consider missions as a second-class thing. And they really shouldn't. It actually requires more ability often to make it on the mission field, whereas many of them say, well, if you can't make it in this country, you can just go on the mission field. Other things that can be involved in missions. There are many people who may go overseas and work. And with their overseas work or overseas contact, it's possible to incorporate outreach and missions work. Some will do at midlife a change. For example, although I had gone overseas at age 33 and stayed there for 5 years, came back, went in private practice. Now at age 48, I went a second time, and this time for 26 years, and then came back. Some I know have gone at retirement age, if they're in good health, and gone on the mission field for a number of years, and they may be in their, for example, in their 60s. Slide 31. How can you help your missionary? There are a number of areas that you can help. The pastor should be the primary counselor for mission candidates from his church. He can talk with them about their personal qualifications. He should know or be aware of problems. He should see that their family situation is in order. If the family situation is not in order before he goes, the stresses of the mission field are most likely to cause greater problems. This pastor is in a situation to talk with the individual to see, before going on the mission field, perhaps they need more schooling. And he can lead them to know what schools are compatible with their church. What schools will give the proper training for them? Slide 32. When a missionary is heading through the field as a new missionary, major needs are often housing, transportation, opportunities for experience. All of those, of course, if the person is already out and working, he may be able to take care of himself, but the pastor can provide opportunities for service. It may be going to camp, it may be preaching, it may be teaching Sunday school, working a bus route. I did virtually all of those things during the time I was in our church for 10 years. And then also contacts with other churches. And our pastor helped me greatly as far as getting contacts are concerned. And so, pastor, you can help your missionary a lot in those areas. And you can make open the doors for him where they are difficult to get in. And I can assure you that getting into churches, contacts, is a challenge. especially in these days. Slide 33. Once again, many missionary ministries, I should say, many ministries are excellent training for service overseas. We ran a bus route, actually ran two bus routes for 8 years. Not too surprising, we still have bus routes in the churches that we started. They're still running bus routes. Here I am, I've been gone 8 years and I was there for 26, still going on. Music ministries are very helpful. Youth experience is again a very helpful thing. Working with children, working at camps, all of these experiences are very helpful and can be used in the future for the missionary when he is actually on the field and he has some idea of his talents and how to get things done. 34. Opportunities to teach and preach, of course. How about counseling in a camp? How about many practical things? You may have special practical skills that you can do, the missionary can do. He may be a great hands-on handyman. I am not. Many practical things that he can do that would be very helpful and very useful, both on in the church and then later on the field. The pastor can make contacts with other pastors. Slide 35, he can take him to pastor's meetings. I went to one pastor's meeting, actually with a friend, and I ended up with 11 pastors were meeting in this small pastor's meeting, not terribly large. I ended up with 9 meetings, and I think I ended up with 5 supporting churches. The pastor can help him use other contacts in his family, his work, his church, his school. Slide 36. The church and pastor can also be very helpful during furlough. The pastor can help the missionary with 3 main items. Number 1, housing. You need some sort of housing base. Number 2, the pastor may be able to help the person with transportation. There may be someone who would be willing to loan or give a car for a period of time. And the pastor may be able to help provide or direct in specific training, either practical or theoretical, during furloughs as well. Finally, slide 37, the pastor can help the missionary as he retires. Dealing with feelings of loss and readjustment coming back to the United States, where he has been in the center of things and then suddenly he's off to the side and often has difficulty readjusting to the United States. He may be able to help the missionary at least temporarily with housing, to give him financial advice and help him to see the best way to meet the financial needs of a retiring individual. He may need advice with family problems. He may need health with health issues that are a challenge. So there are many ways that the pastor can be helpful. And so, in conclusion, on slide 38, as we look at you students who are taking this course, many will eventually be pastors or pastors' wives or teachers or laymen. And my challenge to you is, what is your role? What will you do in world evangelism? May the Lord abundantly bless you.